Just, I want to mention, I've just noticed we have a growing number of people that join us for the live stream, and some of them don't live in the area. So anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know we're going to do communion this morning. And if you're not here with us and you want to go gather some elements for communion and join us on the live stream, please do that. And we'll take communion together at the end. And so we're just been taking some time to really look at a gift that I believe is from the Lord, not just from this year, but kind of the beginning of this year marked it in my heart. And it's just, I just call it the gift of simplicity, the gift of simplicity. And in that, there are just some simple things that tenets. God says, just do this. It's from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, actually, let me read it from here. So I read it. Right, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in him. It was very simple when I received the Lord. I knew he had everything. I had nothing. I accepted his gift. And just a hope. There was great hope in that realization, in that simplicity. And I want to walk in that hope. I've found something. My hope has not increased because I got smarter. My hope has increased because of who he is. It's just, he is hope. And so I believe there is a, just, that's just what he spoke. He goes, this is a gift. This is a gift. Will you receive this gift of simplicity? So we're looking at that, and I actually entitled this, however long we're in this, the gift of simplicity. Last week we talked about being set free to follow. We talked about the triumphant procession that he leads us in, and we talked about what that looked like and what the people of Paul's day recognized when he talked about that, and how that's a daily event. It's not just a one-time event, it's a daily happening. Christ leads us in triumphant procession and taking thoughts captive and all that stuff. That's on YouTube if you want to go back and watch that. Today, I'm starting into just under the heading of the gift of simplicity, living free. So he sets us free, but once you're set free, you've got to do something, right? And I can live free, or Paul says that we can be taken captive again, right? Right, and so I wanted to really kind of walk into that because I think there's some snares, some traps that are set for us, and obviously traps aren't obvious, are they? If they were obvious, they wouldn't work. We hide traps, we set traps. I always go back to this. I don't know how many times I've said it, but when I fish and I actually catch something, I know what the last thought to go through that fish's mind before he takes the bait is. Boy, that looks good, right? And then he's in the boat, usually. So snares and traps aren't obvious. They're set in such a way that we would come into them in what seems natural to us. And the devil's no dummy. He knows where to set those and he knows where to catch us. And many times what's so interesting is we don't even know we're in a trap. We don't even know we're in a snare, but we do understand that it causes struggle, and that's how traps kill animals, is in the struggle. It's not the trap that kills them, it's the struggle in the trap that kills them. So, knowing that our enemy isn't dumb, he knows that as well. So I want to just kind of look at some of these. And so two tenets that we looked at to help keep this gift in focus. We're talking about a gift of simplicity. What's that look like? Well, I don't know exactly, but I know one thing. It's going to be simple, right? Doesn't have to be complicated. And when I think of it, I just go back to the statement. Because there was two, the two tenets. So let's just look at them. I've got them here. God treats each day as the most important day. You know, when I remind myself of that, and I do it almost every day now, God, this is the most important day to you. And I last week I told you, I don't know what it is. When I step into that gift that he's given, there is a freedom. It's like I've been set free from a snare. Hence, that was the where we kind of started last week. But I'm set free to follow. And this morning, I was thinking about that. I'm like, why is that? Why is that such an encouragement to me? God, this is the most important day to you. Because I realize that most of the things that I worry about are tomorrow. And God goes, listen, what did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. And today is the most important day to me. This is where I'm working. And it just kind of brings me back to the simplicity of who he is and what he wants to do. He goes, Brent, I'm looking at you today. Cecil, I'm looking at you today. Patrick, I'm looking at you today. Colby, I'm looking at you today. And I have plans for today. And I want you to walk with me today. Be here with me today. Today is the most important day. So that's one of the tenets. The other one is, in doing that, the reality is my prayer becomes, Lord, help me to abide in step with you. We looked at that in Galatians 5:25. If you walk by the Spirit, then remain in step with the Spirit. And Colossians 2, verse 6, as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. It wasn't complicated when I received him, and it's really not complicated to abide, because in abiding, I don't do a lot of work. It's what I love about communion. It's, you know, we talk about the wounds of Jesus and his body being broken, and when you consider John 15, where Jesus talks about abiding, it's the picture of the vine and the branch. And for a branch to be grafted into a vine, both of them have to be wounded. Right? By his stripes, I have a place of abiding. Because I already have the wounds, right? And Jesus said, I will allow myself to be wounded so you have a place to be grafted in. And from my wound and your wounds, you're going to find life. And so the vine does all the work. I'm just abiding. I'm being in step with what he's doing, what he's providing, what he's giving. And how does the vine grow a branch? In that day. Right? Today's the most important day. All right. So those are the two kind of tenets that have grabbed me, that we've been just kind of looking at and considering and tossing around a little bit. And I'm finding that as I remind myself of these tenets and ask God to help me abide in them, there is a developing posture of awareness. I like the word posture because it means you're ready for something. You're postured. A posture of awareness. One time I was desperate to learn more because I thought learning more would help me do better. It really doesn't work that way. I love to learn, and I love to learn about the Lord. But the learning kind of gave me a sense of pride, which made me kind of more independent of him. And I'm like, okay, now that I've got this, I can go do this. God goes, oh no, you're still dependent on me. Come back here. Come back here. You know some things, but that gives you guidelines, right? It's kind of like putting the bumpers up at the bowling alley, the little things they put up in the gutter so your ball didn't roll in the gutter. God's like, I'm trying to keep you out of the gutter, okay? But you still need me. Right? These are just guidelines for you, and I want you to know the guidelines because they do help you to be in step. But the point of being in step is understanding that I'm the great one that you're following, and I'm the one that's going to do all this stuff. You're just being in step. Be in step with me. And so there's a growing posture of awareness. What happens when you say, this is the most important day to God? You're developing a posture of awareness. God's doing something today. I wonder what that is. And I'm more comfortable not knowing. You want to know why? Because I have a sense of anticipation. I wonder what he is doing. Well, God, I'm looking. I'm paying attention. Because you're probably not going to do it the way I'd think. And so I'm watching. So there's this posture of awareness. How do I remain in step with him? I don't know, because I don't know what's coming next. And so the posture of awareness says, well, God, show me where to put one foot in front of the other. Because when the situation comes that I didn't know about, I just want to abide in step with you. And here's the interesting thing is sometimes as you go through the day in this posture of awareness, because I don't know all the things that the Spirit of Christ is doing, but I'm postured to adjust and move with him, whether he prompts me with a nudge or summons me with a shout. How many of you know most often it's a nudge? It's a nudge. How easy is it to miss a nudge if you don't have a posture of awareness, right? You want to know when I get in the most trouble with my wife is when I miss the subtle hints. I rarely miss the shout. But I miss a lot of subtle hints. And it is having a posture of awareness to go, Spirit of God, I believe you are always. And isn't it true, even in our natural relationships, that when people catch the nudges, those are the things that mean so much to us. And I believe God goes, man, I love it when my kids, when my bride recognizes my nudge and their posture to change or adjust or move. It's almost too simple, isn't it? But I don't know. I guess maybe the older I get, the simpler I want to get. Or the simpler I want life to be. I don't know. Which one of the two. Anyway, so it is the life of abiding with Christ. Really, it is. That's a life of abiding. Posture of awareness. And I'm remembering all that we studied together in Psalms 34. Remember the schoolhouse of the Spirit and learning to walk in the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord isn't this dread. I mean, there's definitely, when we stand before God, there's an awe because we see his great power. We understand our sin, but we also understand his mercy in the same. And so it causes us to stand in awe. And when we stand in awe of who he is, I'm just really am amazed throughout scriptures. All of the promises to those who are learning to walk in the fear of the Lord. What is it to walk in the fear of the Lord? It is to remain in step with him. Right? I mean, what is all that? I don't know. I think when I say, God, I want to be in step with you, there's going to be a growing sense of awe of who he is. And the posture of awareness says to him, God, I care more about what you're doing than even what I think you should do. Because isn't that a trap to us sometimes all in itself? I think God should be doing this. That's nice. It even sounds godly, but is that really what he's doing? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I just want to be in step with what he is doing, because that's the best place to be. So our awareness grows as we remain engaged and learn from the Spirit. And in Psalms 34, we talked about being in the schoolhouse and how he teaches us and how he's a shelter to us. But in the shelter, we're not just hiding, we're learning from him. Learning to do what? Learning to be in step with him. Learning to have a posture of awareness. Learning that each day is the most important day to the Lord. Learning some simple things, which is exactly what Jesus said. If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, then be like a child. And he spoke about the learned people too. And he said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. These were the learned people. And righteousness, of course, having to do with how God sees it. So don't let your learning disqualify you. Let it take you to a place of simplicity. Nothing wrong with learning, but what we allow it to do in us and how it causes us to posture ourselves. Have you ever met somebody that was very well learned and they postured themselves in such a way that they were very hard to be around? Interesting. A great person to consider in this would be Job, because Job postured himself before the Lord and what he knew, and he ended up covering his mouth, right? Because God put him on the spot. He goes, Job, you think you know something? Where were you when I, right? And so Job's posture changed before God, right? He was humbled. But God is opposed to the proud, but what's he do? He gives grace to the humble. And man, I need grace. So it's like, God, simplicity, really just wanting to be in step with you, is a place of recognizing humbly that I need you to lead me each day, and this is the most important day. Okay. The gift of simplicity, although I will say, is not a helpless dependence. And I don't want you to take it that way, because it's not just sitting around going, well, I'm not going to move until God says to move. No, it's not that. It's a posture of awareness in our moving. It's not a helpless dependence, but rather an empowered posture of dependence as we move with God. So I move into each day with the posture of dependence. God, I need you, because I don't know how this day is going to go. I don't know what's going to come up. I don't know what opportunities you're going to open up. But today is the most important day to you, and all I'm asking of you is that you would give me the grace to abide with you in this day and to remain in step with you. And I fully believe, I'm fully convinced that a bride that walks that way is going to see some amazing things from God. Not because we were smart enough to do it, just because we recognized who it is we follow. Because we recognize who it is we follow. And that doesn't mean that I don't study. It doesn't mean that I don't look. But it does change how I take what I receive in regard to my posture. Wow, God, that's pretty amazing. I would like to watch you do that. Help me to be in step with you. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. I believe this gift of simplicity is one other thing I just want to throw in there. I believe it challenges our tendency of obeying to get from God and moves us into the joy of moving with God. That's, I think, maybe in my learning what is challenged most. I want to learn so I can get from God, right? If I learn enough, then I can, God, I always refer to it as the magic wand. God becomes the magic wand. I've learned enough. I know how this works. So I do this, this, and this, and I can get God to do this, this, and this. And God's got to shake his head and go, who told you that? I got it all figured out. Come on, look at this. I put it all together. We'll take it apart. You got it wrong. He goes, I want you to love to move with me, not to learn to get from me. And it really challenges, simplicity challenges that in me. This is not obeying to get from God, but it is the joy of moving with God. And ironically, in this place, we are in step with his blessing. That's what's so neat is, you know, I'm trying to work it out to get something. And God goes, all you've got to do, he goes, if you remain in step with me, you're naturally going to find yourself standing in the place of my blessing that I've prepared for you. Just because you're in step with me, you'll naturally walk into it. And here you're working so hard to try to make it happen, and it's not. Because you've gotten caught in a snare. And I want to set you free from the snare to walk with me. Just come and walk with me. So I got two sets of notes. I need to get the right one stacked up here. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10 describes this posture of awareness. And we read this last week, but I want to read it again. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. You notice it's interesting in Scripture when you find these references to being built up, and even in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, in him. In him, it's in him, it's in him, it's in him. And we find it here again in Colossians. We're now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Where is our blessing? In him. In him. Where do we get trapped? In philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. What are the elementary principles of the world? You work hard to get. That's an elementary principle of the world. Now, I'm not against hard work. I believe in it. My dad taught me, work hard. If you're going to do something, do it right. And I do that, but you know, sometimes that's a trap because I try to apply it to God too. God, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to show you I can do this. He goes, oh, if you only knew what I know, I just want you to be in step with me. Let those who are led by the Spirit. Getting ahead of myself. I received Christ in and as a gift of simplicity. I became aware of my condition. I had nothing. He had everything. I received his life. That simple. Now continue to walk in that. Because where did I find life in that moment? In him. In him. Boy, that phrase there is in the New Testament a lot. All these things that we can do are in him. But it seems like it falls into other places for me, kind of the snares, in learning, in much prayer, in this, in that. All of those things are important, but in him. In him. Lord, I do this to be in step with you. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, right? In him. In this journey, this daily pattern of walking, I am given completeness. I grow each day, of course, but each day is the day of completeness God has prepared for me and for us. I like that. I just got to keep drawing that in because isn't that what we long for, is a sense of completeness and wholeness? Isn't that why we keep chasing things? Because we feel a sense of lacking? Isn't it amazing that no matter how great the accomplishment, the appetite is never satisfied? And it's like, wow, God, today you offer me completeness. Not because I'm done, but because I am in you and you are complete. You are wholeness. In him, I have completeness. And the simple way to be in him is to say, God, this is the most important day to you. And would you give me the grace to abide in step with you? Help me to grow and practice and develop this posture of awareness so that I am responsive when you nudge or when you shout. I'm ready to go. And it's funny because this isn't in here, but if you think about it, Paul tells the Philippian church when it came to prayer and anxiousness, he goes, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, right? He gives a specific approach, a thing that we do with God. And then he says, but as for the rest, what's the rest? Well, it's the rest of your day. As for the rest, what do you do? Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is praiseworthy. Think about those things. So he says, when God's not nudging or shouting, be postured, be aware that he is doing something, and just be ready. Because if you get caught in thinking about things that are negative and poor and not worthy of good report, chances are very good that you'll miss the nudge and maybe even the shout. You might find yourself so aggravated that you even stiffen your neck to God when you recognize he's talking to you. Yeah, maybe I've done that once or twice. Okay. I grow each day, but each day is a day of God's completeness in him. And how many would agree that our enemy, the devil, does not want us embracing a gift of simplicity? I truly believe this. The more complicated it is, the easier it is for him to manipulate. Because, you know, it's like the more moving parts, the more there is to break. I've always said, you know, I want like a 1972 Chevy pickup. Just simple. There's nothing I can't work on. There's not a lot of moving parts in comparison to my 2018 Ford, which I love. But when something goes wrong, it's a whole lot more complicated to get it back into alignment because there's a lot more moving parts. And I believe our enemy knows that. God says, listen, I'm not making this hard. There's not a lot of moving parts. Do this well, and you're going to find yourself walking in my plan and my purpose for your life. Whereas when it gets complicated, like one little thing goes out of whack, and the whole thing's disheveled, right? And I think the enemy knows that. He goes, oh, let's add a few more parts to this. Is that really something God wanted in there, or is that one of my aftermarket add-ons? In verse 8 of Colossians, Paul warns us about becoming captive by means of the snares that have been set as traps to keep us bound up. Colossians 2:8, see that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to traditions of men, according to the empty principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Keep it simple. And I got to be honest, though, you know, the things that are listed in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, all have the appearance of good understanding and sound logic. They do. And I find those are the places I get stuck. Things that really make sense, but they're outside of the simplicity that God calls us to. The question we have to ask is, do these things line up with what the Spirit has been teaching us about being in step with him? But I think instead of trying to come up with situations, I'm just praying that you recognize this in your life by the Spirit of Christ. You know, there are just times that I will look at a situation and I begin to reason in my head. And what I allow to enter into my reasoning often is not hard to recognize that it's not in step with Christ. It's just how the world does it. Everybody else does it. Well, what's wrong if I do it? Right? Well, they did this, so I'm going to do this. Okay, well, is that simply being in step with Christ? And honestly, all you really have to do to check this is go, well, if I were to put this before a child and say, stealing, right or wrong? Wrong. It's wrong. Okay, but what if I can give you a good reason for taking it? Wrong. Stealing's wrong. Yeah, but you don't understand. Understand what? Elementary principles of the world. Don't get caught in that. I mean, you can check these things out. And that's just what I'm praying. I'm praying as you go through the week, you're going to find yourself in a situation, go, what am I going to do? Well, God, what's it look like to be in step with you? You know, I think I could do this. And I think it's okay because this isn't any worse than what other people do. Yeah, but are other people in step with the Spirit? Is that where they're gaining their insight for how they're processing through life? Do they have a sense of completeness? Oh, no. Okay, well, I don't want to go there. Spirit of Christ, I want to have a posture of awareness to what you're doing here. How should I process through this? Simply. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 has to do with this. It's being in step. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I just simply want to be in step with you, and there is knowledge that raises itself up against Christ, doesn't it? There just is, and that's my prayer. Spirit of God, help us to recognize where the knowledge and the principles and the snares and the traps are raising up, because they look good, they look sound. We see them in operation through the world, but if we look at the outcomes, if we look at how the people that are using this wholesale, their lives are empty and they're hopeless. They don't have any sense of completeness, and so it's obviously not in Him, which is where we're called to be. In him. Help me to have an awareness of what in him looks like, abiding in him. And in that, we're taking captive every thought that raises up against the knowledge of Christ. We're not fighting it, right? And I used to kind of like, okay, I got to fight this thing. I got to think it down. No. All I need to do is just be in step with him. Be in him. That thing becomes captive. Right? And then it goes back to that triumphal procession. It is led as a prisoner of war in the triumphant procession to show what he has done. So, my goodness. You guys, just, All right. I got one point I want to make that'll lead us into next week. So the snares. I want to get to the snares. And we're going to do that next week. But a snare or a trap has a bait stick. Okay? And that is the thing that lures us in. That is the thing that looks good. And I want to get to that, and rather than having a long discussion for the sake of simplicity, I just kind of want to cut to the chase. And I want to speculate that the bait stick in almost every snare, now this would be a snare that would take me away from simplicity, because remember, when I started this, I'm like, when I just engage in those two simple tenets, it's like I've been set free from the snare, okay? And so I want to also be able to recognize the snare, because so many times in life now, because God has taught me ways of remaining in step with him, I'll recognize things and I'll go, oh, that's a trap. That's a trap. So I don't even need to wander over there. I don't need to give it any thought. I don't need to worry about not doing it. That's a trap. Don't go there. Like, that's simple, right? my cousin, he comes to visit us. We took him fishing. We were catching pike. And I told him, I said, listen, the only thing you got to know is don't put your finger in their mouth. You want to know what he did? He went up and stuck his finger in his mouth. Another kid we took fishing. Don't put your finger in his mouth. So he didn't put his finger in his mouth. He put his toe in the pike's mouth. Guess what? Pike bit both of them. It's simple. Just don't put your finger in the trap. Have you ever seen a Chinese finger trap? Don't put your finger in the trap. You're not getting it out. And it's interesting because scripture says only he can release your feet from the snare once you're in there. But it's not like it was obvious to me a lot of times. So we get stuck in them. So I'm going to speculate that the bait stick in most every snare set to take us captive is the illusion of being in control. I just kind of want to leave you with that. It's the illusion of being in control. Why do I worry about things that are out ahead of me so I can be in control when I get to them? Why do I struggle with this being the most important day to God? Because it doesn't feel like the most important day to me. And I want to be in control. Like, I don't want to be caught unaware. I want to, and you know, God, honestly, I can't see you. I don't always know what you're doing, and that makes me a little nervous. So I kind of want to have a sense of control just in case. You don't go the direction I think you should go. God goes, oh, when will you just simply learn the joy of being in step with me? And so the enemy puts on the bait stick, the illusion of being in control. And isn't that why we grab the things we grab? Because they give us the illusion that we might somehow be in control of that situation. And we give up just simply being in step. And he'll let us go down that path. But guess what happens? The moment I begin to be in control, things get very complicated. How many of you ever seen Heaven Almighty? Okay, I'm not saying it's the best movie in the world. I'm just saying they did a pretty good job of showing how complicated things get when you want to be in control. Things get very complicated. Very complicated. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, the bait stick of the snake's snare was heavily laden with the illusion of being in control. The desire to be large and in charge like God. The day you eat from the fruit, you will be in charge like him. Do you know the knowledge of good and evil is still death? It gives the illusion of control. And it's the bait. It's the bait. Because he's there whispering, what are you going to do? I'm going to be in step with Christ. Because he's leading me in triumphant procession today. Today. It's that simple. Come what may, I will follow him. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And so there are... Golly, I don't want to stop. But I want to do communion with you guys. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to pick up. I'm pretty excited. Read Romans 8 this week. Romans 8, 14 through 16. Let me read this for you. It goes along with that. Kind of. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Do you know complicated is a fearful place? Simplicity is just a place of trust. And I like it. He says, I want to lead you, but I'm not going to lead you the way the world leads you. The world leads you with fear, right? You go and do these things because you're afraid of missing out. You're afraid of this. You're afraid of that. He goes, I've made you a slave to fear again. Just be in step with me. What if I don't do it right? What is that? Well, that's fear. Oh, God, thank you that you have made a way for me to be in step with you. Oh, it's that simple. You made the way. You did the work. And now you lead in triumphant procession. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. We're going to pick up with that. That's where we'll pick up next week. In him, those who are led by the Spirit. What's that look like? That looks like you asking. What's it look like to be in step with you today? I don't have to know all the facts. Don't get caught in that. Don't get caught in the fact that because he doesn't give you a piece of paper with the 10 steps written out, that you didn't know what he was doing that day. It's called a posture of awareness. I just want to be aware that you're working today beyond what I can see, and you love that I want to be with you. How many of you have ever had a little kid with you when you're out working? Do they know what you're doing? Absolutely not. Most of the time, they're under your feet and in your way. But you know what? We love having them there because of their simplicity and their joy to be with us. There's the picture. Yep, we're under his feet in the way, doing it wrong. But he doesn't care because he's invited us and he's made the way and he says, come, learn of me. Learn of me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You know, you can't be in a yoke and not be in step. I mean, you can. You can. But I know one thing. Christ is greater than I am. And when there is a posture of awareness and a willingness to be in the yoke, he's gonna get you there. He's just going to do it. Because that's what he does. He's the shepherd. It's just what he does. What's he need? He needs a willing heart. That's all he needs. Willing heart. I want to be in step with you. So, the two simple tenets. God, this is the most important day to you. I want to be in step with you. Help me to recognize my tendency to slip off into being in control. Because that is what will keep me from doing those two things. Because those aren't controlling factors, are they? Nope, they're not. And honestly, you do your own evaluation. How often has you being in control got you long-term good success? There you go. Zero. You may have the illusion for a while, but it all falls apart. It all falls apart. It all falls apart. And you go, what went wrong? What went wrong was you were in control. Or you thought you were. Now, look at the life of Christ. Look at all the places where his disciples said, why aren't you taking control? What did he say? I've just come to be in step with the Father. And then he died. And then they fell apart. And then God raised him back from the dead. And they found out that the Jesus they thought they were following wasn't the Jesus they were really following. And sometimes the Jesus you think you're following has to die so that you can see the Jesus the Father has really given you. Right? And in that moment they were full of awe, but it was, you know, they're not bad people. They're just like us. And we're like them, and we're learning to be in step. And that's what they were learning through this process. And we're an extension of that story. And so we're still learning to be in step with him. And as your pastor, I don't want to complicate that. Let's just be in step with him. Let's grow in a posture of awareness. So I'll get Jim and John. If you guys would pass out the communion. And this morning, I just want to use Colossians 2:6. As you received Christ, so remain in step with him. As our passage for communion. Yeah. I want each one of you to know a greater completeness in your life, a greater peace. A passage of scripture was brought back to my remembrance this week as I met with some friends. And it's Isaiah 26:3, and it says, he keeps in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on him. And actually, in the Hebrew, he keeps in perfect shalom, shalom, perfect peace, perfect completeness, perfect wholeness. Those whose minds are steadfast. Those who are practicing a posture of awareness. It doesn't say those who know everything, those who do it perfectly right. It's just their hearts are steadfast. They're after him. They want what he has. They are yielding themselves to him. He says, you will keep them in shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. And of course, peace is completeness. That's his sense of completeness and wholeness that he gives. I want each one of you to know that. I want to know that. Because he's glorified when we bear good fruit. How many of you believe hope is good fruit? It's Romans 15, 13, my favorite passage, that you would abound with hope. And Jesus said, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. The world's looking for hope. They're looking for hope. And when it's real, it's undeniable. And, you know, isn't it great when somebody asks you a question, you go, oh, that's simple. Really? Tell me, is it free? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's simple. What do I need to do? Oh, man, you need to know that today is the most important day to God because this is where he's working in your life. And you need to know he wants to lead you in triumphant procession in Christ. How do I do that? It's simple. He's Lord. He died. He made a way. That's what we're celebrating today. And as you receive him, so walk in him. This is his body broken for us. Why was it broken? So we would have a place of abiding. Remember that. I did this so you could be in step with me. Not so you could go do great things on your own. It's just so you could be in step with me. And as you're in step with me, you're going to experience all of the things that I have prepared in advance for you to walk in. That's one of my favorite promises from Ephesians. It's that he has already prepared things for me to walk in. How am I going to get there? In step with him. He'll lead me there. What's the Holy Spirit do? He leads us. Man, I want to be excited about being led and then just move into my day with a posture of awareness going, well, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I mean, I got some things that I think I need to do, but I'm willing to adjust any of it if you nudge or shout. Because today, it's the most important day. And today, if I hear your voice, I won't harden my heart. His body was broken so we could abide by his stripes. We are healed. You know, this matzah has stripes to represent the stripes. Let's take today the bread. God, thank you that you have made a place for us in yourself that we can come after you. Cup. Just as simple. I needed a redeemer. And there was nothing that could take away my sin, which was the thing that separated me from him. Nothing could take away my sin but a perfect sacrifice. The blood of a perfect sacrifice. And the life is in the blood. And when I receive this, right, I receive what was in him. Jesus, we want to be in you. John 15, abide in me and I will abide in you. Remain in me. We want to be in him. And that blood still speaks our name on the altar in heaven. For God. What's it say? They are in him. They are in him. We just want to be in you. You've made a place, and now you have provided all that we have need of so we can remain in you. I don't have to leave this place and go provide for myself. That's what this blood says. You don't have to leave this place and go provide for yourself. Be in step with me. I've provided all that you have need of. Right here. Let's receive a cup together. Holy Spirit, we just commit ourselves to you today. Not in a list of things we're going to do this week. Just a simple commitment. We know you're here. We know that you're working in our hearts. There's a reason that each one of us are present today, whether in a video live stream or live in person, or maybe this will be years from now that somebody takes in on this message, but we're here for a reason. And you have been sent from the Father by Jesus to lead us. We know the promise of Scripture that those who are led by the Spirit will be called the children of God. It doesn't say those who do great miracles or those who prayed enough or those who knew their Bible enough or those who attended church much. We know you will lead us in all of those things. We know they're important to you, but those were not the determining factor that was written down and inspired by the Spirit in regard to who would be called the children of God. Those who are in step and being led by the Spirit. And we understand that we trip and we stumble and we make mistakes. God, you knew all that and you weren't afraid of us anyway. You invite us into this journey. You invite us into this walk with you. In Spirit of Christ, we commit ourselves to you. We want this year to say this was the year that our posture of awareness became alive. And we found you in places we never knew you were working, and we saw you in places we never perceived, and we understood you in ways that our heart never knew. Because no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But he makes it known to those who are in step with his Spirit. Lead us forward. Help us to know each day is the most important day to you. God, would the traps of fear and anxiety and the illusion of control, would we recognize those things by your Spirit and just call on you and say, oh God, give me grace to just be in step with you here. I relinquish control for the sake of being in step with you. You are an ever-present help when I think I'm in trouble. Even though you know, God, you've got me. You've got me. I pray for each one, God, each one of us that are facing real difficulties, real challenges. We ask for the grace to trust you in those things and that our cry would be to be in step with you and to watch you work as you did in the boat on the sea multiple times in the storm. We thank you for all of these things, and we thank you for all that you have prepared for us in this coming week. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.